This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Get that sweatshirt on, brother. There you go.
I forgot I had the white tee on.
What a way to start off a week.
Sometimes I'll be forgetting that we're on TV, too, or ESPN Plus, you know what I'm saying? So I forgot I didn't have no shirt on. Taco
Man,
meat everywhere.
They almost caught you. They almost caught you as you had your white T-shirt on.
And
then all
you're
scrambling, just pulling it on in time before you got onto the screen.
Amen.
That's how we do it. No check engine light so far today. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hunt Show up here on the Goodyear Hotline. You can be part of the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And also, Twitter and Instagram is at Bart and Hahn, and we do check the replies. So, Bart, let's get some NBA as we'll have. We're going to have Mike Tannenbaum going to join us bottom of the hour. We got a lot of NFL to get into certainly as well. But last night, the NBA, something happened.
Hold your breath. Hold your breath.
Something happened that it cannot be overlooked. It certainly can't, I think, overstated. You can't do that either. And that is the injury to Anthony Davis with the Lakers as they were playing in a game on ESPN last night against the Denver Nuggets. It was a really good matchup and an intriguing one as well. Anthony Davis didn't play in the second half of this game. Now, remember, leading into the game, he missed a couple of games with some Achilles soreness.
Yeah.
And then as he's making a move against
Jokic,
he all of a sudden, and he's wearing low tops, by the way.
Well, those are some Kobe's.
You know my story
like
about
Kobe's,
low tops.
Like Kobe's?
I just saw the Nike swoosh, so I don't know exactly what he was wearing. I wasn't looking that closely. I just saw low tops, and you know me. You remember my story.
You should send
and
him
what
some
happened
Jordan.
To me?
You should send him
I have
Jordan.
That. Yeah, that's exactly. I have that immediate reaction every time I see somebody have an injury around their foot wearing low tops while playing basketball. So Davis didn't play in the second half. They're calling it. It's an interesting injury that they're calling it.
Diagnosis. What's the diagnosis?
Yeah, well, they're saying right Achilles strain, but they're also calling it, I want to say right, tendinosis? Achilles tendinosis.
Tendinosis. So that would be the Achilles version.
Dr. Scott, what do we have here?
This would be the Achilles version of tendinitis, which is for the knee tendinitis, the inflammation within the tendon that flares up. Tendinosis would be the inflammation of that. So they're going to pump it with anti-inflammatories. But this is the problem. You never know what kind of pressure that you put on it. And you worry about, okay, if it's not just the Achilles, you worry about the plantar fascias and the calf.
Boy.
Because what happens is that's where the calf injury happens too. Remember what happened to KD. It was the calf strain first, and then it became the Achilles. And what people don't need to realize, I'm going to give them a little, biology thing about African Americans. African Americans traditionally have flat feet and no arch. So what happens is as you get older, you're going to start seeing African Americans, because we have high calves, have issues with your Achilles. I had them with mine. Damon Woody blew his out, Julio Jones, because we have flat feet. And, you know, he's going to have to put some arch support up in that thing. He's definitely going to have to get some high tops. But that doesn't just heal overnight. Because I remember having heel spurs behind mine. The inflammation is going to stay. And once it's irritated, it's irritated. And what I get concerned with Anthony Davis is if he has any little micro tears. Because what happens is every once in a while, the little micro tears, they get caught and they get inflamed. And they're like, imagine a steel cable cord. That steel cable cord is one cord, but it's made up of a bunch of little fibers. And every once in a while, some of those things break off. Now, you can address it by just letting it sit there, and it's going to be inflamed. Or you can go in there, you can kind of cut some of the pieces off. You know, so when they get the MRI, we're going to find out. But this is huge, because now you know who has to step up, Alan? You know who has to step up?
Who?
Kostas Antetokounmpo.
What?
Giannis's
brother. We need Kostas now to step up. By the way, you gave us a nice little. It was a physiology lesson that you gave us
physiology.
There.
Thank you.
The anatomy.
I went biology, right? My bad.
Well, either one, that's fine. Biology is more chemistry, but that's okay. But still, the Anthony Davis. This will now resonate, of course, because the Lakers and the future of this injury could end up being a chronic issue, something he's got to deal with the rest of the season, however long he is going to be out. That is the biggest question, right? Like, that's what has to happen. They have to have an MRI. They're going to get that done today when the team lands in Minneapolis. So they have to go there first, and they'll wait from there to see what this means. But Woj discussed, of course, as he's on top of everything going on in the NBA, he discussed the impact of the injury for Anthony Davis. And take a listen to this.
He's going to get an MRI today. You heard Davis last night say, you know, that he's going to have to be, knows he needs to be cautious with this injury. He had missed two games, you know, comes back and re-aggravates it. And so I think you could expect to see him sit out a while here. Now, how long that will be remains to be seen. I was told there was no sense there was any structural damage last night, but that's why you get the MRI today. And, you know, certainly for the Lakers, this is, you know, the only thing you feel sometimes that could derail them would be an injury to Anthony Davis or LeBron James. And so certainly they're going to be protective of Davis, and we'll see how that MRI turns out today.
Now, again, you've got a couple of weeks before they have their break.
Right.
Can't imagine you'll see Anthony Davis until after the midseason break.
Right.
What that means for a Laker team that was on a roll until they lost last night, and really the game got away from them. They were trailing early, but the game got away once Davis was out, and LeBron talked about how they just weren't the same team with him. So, Bart, could this be the, dare I say, Achilles heel for LeBron's opportunity to win one more championship?
I think it can, because I think when you look at the Utah Jazz, you look at some of the teams in the West, you take Anthony Davis off of the Lakers, and that levels the playing field. So, and you can say whatever you want about, okay, it's minor, give him rest. One, giving him rest is going to be tough, because it's going to be tough to keep his conditioning up, right? And then you talk about every time he jumps, it's going to irritate that Achilles. You know what used to hurt my Achilles the worst when I was dealing with my Achilles injuries? It wasn't so much the jumping, the running, it was the stopping. Right, so in basketball terms, it would be stopping and cutting, because then what happens is, though, you know, the when you stop, you know, it kind of creates a jam point in your Achilles when you stop. And with that being said, without Anthony Davis, this team isn't a Super Bowl. I mean, Super Bowl. What am I talking about? They're not a championship contender.
They can't win the Stanley Cup either.
Yeah, that too. They're not going to win.
No matter what league they're in, all of a sudden they suddenly, right? I would say, without him, you'd have to admit that they aren't. I mean, they'd still be a good team, but they couldn't possibly be a favorite for you anymore. And they currently are,
right?
According to Vegas, the favorite.
But also, Alan, I would ask you. Like, you think about a seven-game series, he won't get an opportunity to rest. So when you think about, you know, because it's going to go back to how it was before, right, not when they were in the bubble. So teams are going to be playing each other. It's going to be limited rest, seven-game series. That thing is going to flare up. Listen, he's going to have to be on something strong, like Celebrex, like some real heavy-duty, like I got to get my kidneys checked in 2 months type of anti-inflammatories to try and keep that down, because if you get swelling in the foot, it goes to the plantar fascia, it goes to the ankle, all that stuff.
You're talking about all the residual effects of the injury.
Yes.
Yeah, that's certainly something they've got to watch, they've got to manage, and they got to worry about. There's no doubt about it. Stephen A. Smith said something on First Take this morning in reaction to this injury that really caught my attention. He said that his first thought when he saw the injury, now it's just first thought, was the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the championship. Because he felt like the Lakers were the only team that could get in Brooklyn's way. And I find that interesting. And by the way, the Nets are supposed to be in L.A. to play the Lakers on Thursday.
Yeah, Brooklyn even
played there. And we're not going to get that. But not only are we not going to get the real matchup, Kevin Durant now is out again. He just came back Saturday. They played fantastic in Golden State in his return against the Warriors. He just came back, remember, from the COVID. He was out for COVID protocol. Comes back. Hurts his hamstring, so now he's out with a mild hamstring strain for two more games, which means their next two games, it'll be two games. So Kings tonight, Suns are tomorrow, they got a back-to-back. So he might be available for the Laker game, but all right, regardless of what it is, they won't have Anthony Davis for this game. And so it's hard to use that game now as, okay, let's see what this looks like, stars versus stars. You're just not going to have that matchup. But I don't know. I mean, I've said all along, the Nets are going to the finals. But I think now the West becomes a lot more interesting because you're looking at, once again.
Do you believe in Utah? Do you believe in Utah, though? Like,
yeah, I was
really?
Going to go to Utah. Utah has won 18 of their last 19 games.
I get all that.
Their last two losses, like one of their last two losses is against the Knicks, who, by the way, ESPN Power Rankings came out today, as they do each week.
Look at
the
you.
Knicks moved up to 15th, baby.
Look at you.
Hang
you
the like, banner.
You like a
Hang
proud,
it.
You like a proud papa, man. Look at you.
Top half of the league. It's only taken 8 years.
chest out like a peacock. Now all they got to do is get Bradley Beal, and they'll be all good, right?
No, I'm
you, so, oh,
what you have to give up for Bradley Beal right now?
Does it matter?
Don't know if I'm ready.
Does it matter what you got to give up
for
Bradley
Beal? Why do you have to do this? This is such a Knicks thing to do, though.
Because Bradley Beal
is really
the future.
Fans love this team. They're working so hard. They're playing so hard. You're going to gut the whole core of this thing for one player. I think we've seen that movie before.
Yes, yes. If it includes Julius Randle, and I get to keep on to Quigley, and I get to keep on
you think the Wizards are doing that deal? If I'm the Wizards and I'm like, okay, I'll trade this guy, but you got to give me, let's see, Quigley, RJ, Mitch.
Nah.
A couple of firsts.
Nah.
What do you mean nah? They want at least three firsts, by the way.
You can have the
guy's
three
averaging 30 a game. You're not going to give him up for nothing. He just signed a contract, too. He's not an expiring guy.
I give you the three, and I give you Julius Randle. Three first-round picks, and you know it's unprotected? Listen, Dallas
can still
play him out.
It's just like the Jets. I'm trying to explain it to you. To get a Deshaun Watson, to get a Bradley Beal, you got to give up stuff. Like, when you're like, oh, I'm not giving up Quinnen Williams, well, then you're not getting Deshaun Watson. It's as simple as that. I'm not giving up R.J. Barrett. Well, then you're not getting Bradley Beal. It's as simple as that.
Okay,
I'm not giving up draft picks. Then you're not getting these guys.
Okay, you can have R.J. and three, but you're not getting Mitchell Robinson, and you're not getting Quigley. Would you do that deal? Would you do
if
three?
If I'm the Wizards, no.
You can have Nealakina, Knox, three number ones, and R.J. Barrett, who is a talented 20 and 10 guy.
So that's
a young player.
I clearly need help today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Help me.
Help me with Bart, because Bart's ready to give up the farm for Bradley Beal as the Knicks are finally building the right way, slow and steady. What did Bontemps say? He said, quietly, the Knicks keep winning. When's the last time the Knicks did anything quietly? So, like, you got them in the top 15. You should feel good about it. And everybody's now ready. Let's make a big trade. Like, here's one, too. How about this trade rumor? So, Andre Drummond, who's the guy that everybody expects to be traded before the March 25th trade
deadline.
And the Nets are a team that, right, the Nets. But how about this? So there's a rumor. So he's not playing. So Brian Windhorst reported that Drummond now is being held out of games mainly because of attitude, and they're just trying to move him now at this point because he doesn't want to be there. They've got Jared Allen.
They got 25 7-footers.
Yeah, they got JaVale. So they're going to try to move him. So one of the reports is the Athletic is saying that the Raptors are engaged with the Cavs in a trade for Drummond. And I just threw up in my mouth because I'm like, oh.
He's a stat getter, man. He's a great defender, great rebounder, and he's getting a little bit of offense.
You're replacing Marcus Gasol and what you lost in Gasol and Ibaka, which they clearly are missing him because they just don't have paint presence whatsoever. And that's been their issue this year. And you're going to replace him with a guy, and Andre Drummond, who he gets you 30 and 20, and it just doesn't impact winning.
But I thought, you know,
we're going to have Mike Tannenbaum on in a little bit. Force multiplier, one of his favorite phrases. Force multiplier.
Yeah, I got to ask.
What
Mike
is the opposite? I need to know what the opposite of force multiplier is, because that's what Andre Drummond might be.
A divider. I don't know. What?
It's just like impact on winning just doesn't register. So I don't know why the Raptors would do this.
I thought the Raptors was trying to get rid of Kyle Lowry. I thought he was one of the guys.
I saw that rumor too, moving him.
It's about time, though. You know what I mean? Get something for them. They're in a bit of a mini rebuild. They won their championship. Now it's time for Van Fleet to take over as a leader. You got Siakam right there as well. You know what I mean? They have a young team. Right, but like, we thought that him and Caris LeVert was going to be the two stars that was going to just, you know, break out, that was going to become mainstays, and they just haven't been able to reach expectations. I understand LeVert coming off the surgery, but, you know, he didn't live up to the contract before we see him again.
But still, like, I feel like the NBA right now is getting to that place.
Yeah.
That as we, you know, we're still more than a month away from the trade deadline. But I told you, trade season is kind of opened up now that everybody's available.
Oladipo.
And the rumors are out there. I feel like this is a bear market, though. I don't think you're going to see great movement. I think you're going to see small moves. As Wendy told us, half the league can't give you a first-round pick.
Right.
So there's not a lot of getting to be got out there right now for anybody that is significant. You might have to wait till the offseason.
I mean, you got Oladipo,
it's a weird year.
Right? I mean, Oladipo
is going to probably
available.
Be on the move, which got, doesn't that got, give you a signal too? Doesn't that warn you? Victor Oladipo is a good player, and now he's on his second team that wants to move on from him.
Well, it's expiring contract, though. So, you know what I mean? They just did that to make it work.
The Rockets couldn't use a talent like that? They wouldn't say, well, we're going to give him an extension? No, we're all set.
I mean,
like, you saw John Wall. John Wall can do everything offensively. He can't do a damn thing on the defensive end. The Knicks just shredded him.
They say Boogie may be moving on, right, to try help maybe to Brooklyn to be a guy that can, you know, because you
Boogie
have
Cousins
the Andre.
Does not help
Brooklyn. Well, but you have the Andre Jordan. You know, you want to get as many bodies to throw at Embiid as you can. I know he can't move laterally.
DeAndre's the only body you need.
He's horrible. But, you know, listen, who else is
the who the Nets should get? P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, I love me some
P.J. That's who they should get. You want to get a guy, get him because you can play small. The Nets could play small.
He's a little big guy.
And P.J. Tucker out there, and you could put P.J. Tucker against Embiid, and I know Embiid is twice his size.
He'll get underneath him.
Thank you. And Embiid hates that.
People on his legs. People getting underneath his –
Now you're thinking
underneath his side.
See, now I'm thinking like a linebacker.
All it takes is 16 minutes to get me up on my basketball. I'm a little rusty. You know what I'm saying? I told you I used to average a triple double. I know you don't believe that, but I used to have 10 fouls, 10 turnovers, and 10 rebounds. Triple double.
10 fouls.
Scott Way.
I always used to say
that five that I get caught with.
Well, no. I used to always say this about the NBA. You can use five.
Yeah.
They kick you out when you get to six, but you're allowed to use five. This whole notion of, you know, just getting into foul trouble. What's foul trouble? Yeah. Like, you get five. They let you hit somebody five times illegally. You're allowed to hit someone five times illegally. Imagine if in MMA or boxing that you could get away with five times you could hit somebody illegally.
Alan, were you Don Chaney? Were you Don Chaney's goon? Were you Don Chaney's goon?
Let's just say I wasn't out there for my offense.
You out there setting hard screens and smacking the hell out of wrists and forearms.
You got to do what you got to do. Once they realize that 1,000 points I scored was like, all right, we're going to need 1,000 fouls now from you at this level, son. I was like, whatever it takes, coach, whatever it takes. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I just feel like, again, the NBA is in a really interesting place when it comes to where the teams are at the very top. You just asked me, do I believe in Utah? And I watched the way they play, and it's amazing. And you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, now, it was this shade at the Lakers when he said that the Jazz are the best team in the West? And he just raved about how well they play. And this is a credit, again, to the franchises that they don't star chase, probably because they can't. We know Utah is normally not a place that free agents are dying to go to Salt Lake City, right? We understand that. But you build through the draft, which they've done. You supplement through free agency with nice moves. And then you have a coach and you have stability in the franchise. That's what they've had. They've had their troubles. They've had their issues. We all know what happened with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. And we thought that thing was going to blow up. It didn't. Instead, they went to the bubble. They had a fantastic first round against Denver. And that could have gone either way.
That was war.
And that is a team that was ready to play this year. And you can attribute all that to coaching, preparation, and continuity. Yeah. And they're playing as well as anybody in the league right now. Five players on a string. It's beautiful to watch. But the question is, of course, is it enough to say they should be included in championship contender status? Yeah. That's a huge question about them.
Well, Giannis is giving Utah all their roses because Gobert put his armpit hair in his mouth when he yammed on him. You know what I'm saying? Finally got him back. You know, but listen, when you talk about a team that has continuity, that's been together, you know what I mean? You know, especially when you have shortened seasons, COVID, all that stuff. You know, they should be able to win, but I want to know how they're going to do against the better teams, right? When the better teams
in a seven-game series.
In a seven-game series that's playing, you know, like how would they do against Denver again, which I think you talk about, you know, Jokic, Donovan Mitchell can probably be in the MVP voting. I know he wouldn't win, but you always got to reward the best team. They have the best record right now, and he's their best player. You know, but, you know, can they win in a seven-game series? That's always the issue. Of course, we see, like, it's hard to say that they have a fluffed-up record, but they do, you know, because they're going about and they're playing teams they're better than. We know that realistically the teams that really can give them problems is maybe like four or five teams, right? So I want to see how they match up against the Clippers of the world. How do they match up against the Lakers of the world when they play head-to-head? And then how do they match up against Denver? Because anybody else, you expect them to be slightly a little bit better than them because they've been together and they're a deep roster and very well coached.
Yeah, certainly in a season like this, that's the stuff you want, is that those teams that have the continuity and the experience together are usually the ones that hit the ground running. The Jazz certainly have done that. By the way, Charles on Twitter tells at Barton Hahn, tell Bart you don't sell the farm and then plant the corn. Huh. If you want corn, you need the farm.
Oh, tell Brooklyn that. Tell Brooklyn that because they didn't sell the farm until they sold the farm.
Well, but they got three stars. You're trying to sell the farm for one. There's a huge difference there. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So this President's Day, Dell honors all you do with up to $300 off their latest tech like XPS and Alienware systems with Intel Core processors and top electronics. Plus, free shipping on everything. Call 800-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/President's Day. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Mike T, Mike Tannenbaum, going to join us next. There's a lot to talk about in the NFL, including Dak Prescott and a rumor about a contract that I think would be perfect for him. But maybe if you're the Cowboys, you should be apprehensive about this type of a deal. We'll discuss. Barton Hott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker, Bart. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Mike Tannenbaum joins us right now via the Goodyear hotline as we dive into some NFL headlines, as this is an offseason, Mike, that We were talking with Shefty right after the Super Bowl, and he sounded exhausted, as if to say, yeah, there's no vacation coming. This sounds like it's going to be a real active offseason. And I imagine Dak Prescott is old. We're talking about Deshaun Watson all the time. Dak Prescott's really probably the bigger name to talk about here and discuss what's going to happen with him. And Ed Werder discussed a three-year deal that he's looking for, around $40 million a year. I like that for him because if I'm using NBA influence – you control your future more than you do if you lock yourself in for a longer term. Do you agree with that? You think for the player that's a better thing to do these days?
Well, context is everything. And someone like Dak, who's been so successful off the field despite not being a first-round pick, he probably has the luxury of going shorter, betting on himself. And again, something that Bart and I talked this morning on GetUp, you know, now you're looking more of a Kirk Cousins franchise, then goes to Minnesota, does a short-term deal, gets another bite of the apple. So, I think that's totally appropriate for Dak, given where he is.
Well, but I'm sorry, let me mute. On the flip side, you know, why wouldn't an organization want to do that because it's so short that it's, are those hard cap numbers? Or is that something that, you know, maybe they can give him a compromise, could be a four-year deal with a three-year opt-out?
Yeah, you know, Bart, I think from the club standpoint, I think it's the complete opposite. I think you want to go 6, 7, 8 years if possible. You know, sort of like what the Mahomes model is. I just don't think Dallas will be able to get there because they've waited so long to get something done. But clearly, if I'm Dallas, the longer the better. You know, if you look at the macroeconomic trends, obviously we're getting through the pandemic. But once we do that, you see, you know, gambling revenue on the horizon, maybe some other media rights buyers coming. It's only going to make the cap go up. And in my opinion, we're going to see more of a two-tier system, the haves and the have-nots. And Dak will be a have because he's a great player. He has impeccable character. He's a great leader. So if I'm Dak, I'm betting on myself, and he's put himself in a position of extreme leverage.
If they can't get something going together, a new franchise tag, and we know that they can't franchise him for the third year, so what viable options will the Dallas Cowboys have? Does that mean if they can't get a deal done before the draft that maybe they may consider having to draft a guy like Trey Lance or something like that as insurance? To be able to be the future if Dak Prescott isn't going to be the long-term solution? And how quickly do you have to make that decision?
You know, Bart, there's a couple things there. First of all, like, I would love to be a fly on the wall. you know, these 32 NFL owners obviously are incredible business people, and they're used to having leverage, and obviously they're incredible negotiators. This is one of the few times that Jerry Jones simply doesn't have leverage, and to see him comport himself and how he's going to try to get something done is going to be really interesting, because the person on the other side of the table just has more leverage. And I think what you're bringing up is a little bit of what we saw a couple of years ago with Kansas City and Alex Smith, which is they have Alex Smith. He's a good quarterback. They didn't want to keep him. They draft Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. You know, Mahomes only started one game his rookie year. And I think you almost have to treat it with Dak that, like, look, he's going to graduate in a year because, like you said, they're not going to pay him $50 million on a one-year deal. So he's graduating. We have a year to get ready. Let's go get, like you said, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, somebody who we could develop for win today with Prescott and then develop for tomorrow with that first-round pick.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum, NFL front office expert for us here at ESPN. And Mike, as we talk about leverage, Deshaun Watson really doesn't have any, but he's trying to use it. If you were in that front office, I already know I've heard you talk about what you would demand if you were going to make a trade for him. But I want to ask more of this. What would it take for you to trade him? And when would you do it? My theory is you've got to trade it. If you're going to, you got to do it before the draft. It makes no sense to do it after, like, whether it's before training camp or you know, if he starts to really act up and cause problems, because you really are costing yourself a very high potential for a very high draft pick in this draft. So I guess my question is, that's my theory. What would be yours? How would you lay out the playbook, for lack of a better term, with your ownership about this is what we'll have to do and this is when we'll have to do it?
Yeah, Alan, we ran that play. We were outside of Bart's house at 11:59, 59 seconds. We worried about Rex tearing a hamstring, jumping over the palatial fence to get around the moat to get up to Bart's house to get him up I-95 from, you know, Baltimore to New York. So, you know, I've run that play. look, I think what you really need to do, and I think these are very similar, to be candid, if I was trying to approach Dak Prescott or even Deshaun Watson, who I know is under contract. But now it's all about sitting down shoulder to shoulder with Dak and saying, hey, let's map out the next 30 years, because you're the CEO of, really, if you think about it, America's number one company. You could say it's Amazon. You could say right now it's Tampa Bay. You could say it's Johnson & Johnson. But it's really the Dallas Cowboys, and you're the CEO of it. You know, I may own it, but you're the face of the franchise. So let's talk about the next 30 years. 8 to 10 of those 30, you're going to be playing. But what about the next 20? You're going to make even more. Look at Roger Staubach. He's almost a billionaire as a commercial real estate person in Dallas. And we're going to work really hard to make sure that when you transition from playing into the next phase of your Dallas Cowboy career, that you're going to do that seamlessly. And what you're going to make as a player isn't going to even pale in comparison. So I think it's about big picture. I think it's about what you want to do off the field from a business standpoint, community, giving back, charities, legacies. And I think when you talk about people like Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, that's the future of our sport, and that's why we're in great hands, because they're great athletes, they're great players, but they're very thoughtful. They want to give back in a very meaningful way, and that's why, to me, these conversations have to be much bigger and much more transformational than, hey, what's the three-year average on the contract?
Yeah, I maybe I said the wrong name. I thought I was talking about Deshaun Watson here. If you were in Houston and you have this situation, that's kind of what I meant. What would be the playbook on how you handle if you're going to move him, when it would be, and what it would take to finally say, okay, we've got to do this? Or do you just dig in?
Yeah, I apologize there. I would say very similar, and I would flush what happened in the past. So be it Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, whomever or whatever happened, it doesn't matter. It's David Culley, it's Nick Caserio. Let's flush it and let's move forward. We're not trading you. And I think the situation you're trying to avoid, Bart, you've alluded to this, which is you don't want to be in a situation where he's there but he's not practicing because his hamstring's tight. We saw that last year with Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. That's lose-lose. So I'm going to try to move heaven and earth to make sure that Deshaun Watson is happy and satisfied. Because to trade him, to me, is insane, because you're never going to get the value back. People spend 20, 30 years of their careers in the front offices, like myself, trying to find Deshaun Watson. He's in your building and under contract. He should never leave.
Well, I mean, you think about they spend all year trying to find a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins, and they had no problem, you know, trading him and moving him. So I can understand your analogy and saying what Dak would do as far as being Roger Staubach. But Deshaun Watson asked him for that opportunity to be the CEO, to be able to say, hey, can I have some input on the head coach? Can I have some input on, you know, some of the management positions? And they told him that they would, and I think they disrespected him by not letting him be involved in the process, even if they were just, you know, letting him stay face and let him feel like he had a decision or a hand in it, in that terms. And when you talk about, you know, being able to go, this is the issue. Like, it's other sandboxes in the NFL that can offer Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott the same thing. Because you can talk about Roger Staubach, but we can talk about Joe Montana. We can talk about Ronnie Lott out of Silicon Valley and what they've been able to do off the field and still be able to have an opportunity to win. Because if you put either one of those quarterbacks in a San Francisco 49er uniform, then you can say that team is probably going to be a contender for the NFC Championship game, because that roster is so good, and Kyle Shanahan is so good, and John Lynch is good at what he does as well.
So, Bart, I've run that play, be it Chad Pennington, be it Ryan Tannehill. I had them be part of head coaching searches, and you got to be really careful here, guys, because the conversation is very quietly, very discreetly, we want you to meet with a couple candidates. We want to get your feedback. And, oh, by the way, you may want to say that you believe in coach candidate X and we hire candidate Y, but your input is important. It's valued, but ultimately your job is to play quarterback, not to be a GM, but we respect you. And there's a sort of an artful way to do that. And again, I wasn't in that conversation, but it does appear, Bart, I agree that it does seem like they said X and they did Y, which really you just can't have happen. And Deshaun Watson's too important to let that go down the way that it sounds like it did.
All right, Mike, we're going to have to leave it there. There's plenty more we can talk about, but I'm sure, hopefully anyway, we'll have you back on, and there's a lot more headlines on the NFL to discuss. So thanks so much for the time.
What's the name of that drink? What's the name of that drink you sent me to? It's very refreshing, and it's got my muscles starting to grow a little bit, too.
X2. It's all natural. It's healthy. And not that you need any more energy, Bart, but, you know, when you do those get-up appearances, like, it does help get you through the day.
Well, you know, when they wake me up early and make me jump on with you, man, and then I double dip, I do need that little extra boost, little kick.
I tell you
so
what,
I can keep it hot.
I need some X2 so I can keep up with Bart. So let me know where I can order it, and I'll certainly do that. Bart, by the way, was just doing the peck pop of love on ESPN Plus, so that's something we definitely will not be able to unsee. Mike, thanks so much again for the time. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Mike Tannenbaum giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract. No compromise. It's Bart and Han. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bart, coming up, disrespecting the Lombardi?
Who would do? What you talking about, Willis?
No, you got to find out what this story is about. You'll want to hear it. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and we thank Mike Tannenbaum for doing that with us in the previous segment. So let's do Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger. You know who's getting it done, Bart?
Who?
Bucks
by the
GM.
Way, I couldn't, you know, listen, you know when you're trying to hit the phone and you mute, but it double punches or unmutes?
Fat fingers. Yeah, I live with that affliction. So Bucks general manager Jason Light, because he responded to a tweet from Florida's Fox 4 TV. And it's an interview they did with Lorraine Gross, who's the daughter of a silversmith, Greg Gross. And he's the one who crafted the original Lombardi trophy. And Lorraine is not happy. She feels that when Tom Brady threw the Lombardi, as you know, it becomes now a famous video of him on, they were on the boats and he tosses it to Gronk.
Yeah.
That she felt like that was the trophy was disgraced and disrespected. Oh. That's a quote, by being thrown as if it was a real football. She goes on to say, I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset because I know the passion that goes into this trophy. I don't know if she talks like that, but I would think it sounds like that.
The passion. He don't even make it no more.
And how my dad and his fellow silversmiths are so proud to make this. I'd personally like an apology. Not just to me and my family and to other silversmiths, but to fans. So anyways, Jason Light retweeted the video with, of course, the famous scene from Stripes.
No!
Lighten up, Francis.
But
Now, can I mean, Bart, it's the Lombardi Trophy. Like,
bro, this it's not like throwing a Bible. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like not throwing an American flag like a frisbee, like over water or something like that from a fallen soldier. Like, stop it. Like, he should have also posted a picture of Friday about Bob Felicia. Get the hell out of here. And Karen, get the hell out of here, Karen. Like, stop being a Karen. Like, she wanted to put some attention on herself. Who cares what somebody does with their trophy? When your father makes it, it becomes my trophy. I can do whatever the hell I want.
I understand if you want to be emotional about it. That's fine.
Why?
I don't know what would drive you to this, but just a little bit of context. And I think we talked about this last week. The Stanley Cup, to me, and to probably everybody, if you look at it, is probably the coolest, the greatest trophy in sports. And I know the World Cup is international. I get it. But it's come on. It doesn't look that great. The Stanley Cup is beautiful. It's this gigantic silver chalice. And you know what's been done with that? But the whole idea is, and I can go on. I mean, Mark Messier took it to clubs. A dog ate out of it. A child. Well, somebody's child pooped in it once. It's been in the bottom of pools all over North America and Europe. The whole idea is that it gives a legacy to the trophy. It's part of the lore. It's part of the story. That's what makes it great. That it has dings. And you know what? We all have scars. And those scars tell stories. And the trophy has those scars too. And that's cool. That makes it great. And I want players to take the Lombardi for a day like they do the Cup and do crazy stuff with it so we can tell those stories.
They do. But those stories will not be televised. The Revolution will not be televised. And where the hell is Giselle when you need her? She's talking about your husband, Giselle. You clap back. You clap back.
That's
going to
get done. Brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com/safety or just stop by. More coming up as we get back to the NBA. How about those Nets?
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.